Hello everyone, welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we review everything from movies to TV shows to books and musicals and everything in between. Today is the second day of our Rocky series where we're going to be going over every Rocky movie from the 23rd to the 27th. We really enjoyed recording our last episode and we were really excited to do our next one, so be sure to keep listening. We're going to have a lot more great content out for you guys soon. So obviously today we're going to be reviewing Rocky 2. Ty, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Rocky 2. So, this movie, while significantly better than Rocky 1, I feel still did not quite manage to reach that good to great ceiling. It did not manage to break the 8 ceiling, so to speak.
I felt that this movie, surprisingly, just took a more mature, it kind of matured its story a bit. It's not so much as the original Rocky as the underdog fairy tale, you know, rise above the odds. I mean, it does have a bit of that, but I feel like the way that the story unfolds and the way it's kind of presented, all the new the challenges that Rocky faces versus the first movie are very different in a very mature way. I appreciated that. The plot still is a little unfocused in the first act. The pacing is a bit off, but the actor's charisma, especially from Sylvester Stallone, I think makes up for it. So for me, I think it will break that 8 ceiling, but I don't want to spoil my complete thoughts just yet.
So let's talk a little bit about the background of the show.
Yeah, so it came out in 1979, stars Sylvester Stallone, was also written by him, like the first movie. Stars some other people, but I don't really think you guys care about that. That's basically all you need to know about it. What happens during the movie, though, is it continues right off of the first one. It goes right off from the first one, left off, sorry.
Basically, there's... They immediately jump us right into the aftermath of that horrible first fight. You know, Rocky needs surgery. Apollo, he really wants that rematch. He is ticked off that he lost, man. They spent some time in the
hospital. No, he won. He won, remember?
Well, he won, but he lost the moral battle there. He lost the admiration of his fan base and all that. In the eyes of the audience, he was the real loser. Everybody's all messed up. Rocky comes out of the hospital. He has tons of cash now. He goes on this crazy spending spree. Gets, like, gold watches for everybody, including Paulie. Again, I don't know why everybody seems to be okay with him when he took a baseball bat to his sister in the first movie. But, you know, I mean, details, whatever, man.
Yeah.
So...
Well, he was probably intoxicated.
I
at the time.
But he never apologized, which is the weirdest part. Anyway, okay, yeah. Adrian and Rocky get married, which I have to say was definitely one of the more surprising things I didn't see coming in this film. Because, you know, action heroes, they're all like, you have a rotating harem pretty much in most of these stories, so that surprised me quite a bit, to see that they were actually developing the relationship. Apollo, meanwhile, he's getting hate mail.
I think you'll actually, just go on that one point. I know, like, you're probably thinking of something like Indiana Jones, right? Where the girl is different in every movie, right?
James Bond. I was thinking more James Bond, but I guess Indiana Jones.
Well, but what's interesting about the Rocky movies, they're actually, like, they use it in the plot. Like, obviously, Rocky's mojo is gone until Adrian wants him to fight again because he doesn't... They go over that later in the movies, like in Rocky 3, that's also part of it. I don't think so much in Rocky 4, but in Rocky 5 also. So, like, him being married and having to deal with, like, you know, him and the kid and stuff like that is actually part of the plot. So, I think that's pretty interesting how it uses that, or, you know, other movies just want to rotate the girl every time. But, yeah, continue.
Right. So, Apollo, he's getting tons of hate mail saying that, he actually fixed the fight so that he could continue being the champ. And Apollo starts to get obsessed with this rematch. He wants to have a rematch and prove, once and for all, that our main man, Sylvester, was actually just, you know, a total chump, right?
Yeah, chump.
So, he can't directly challenge Rocky, because Rocky says he's in retirement. So he gets his PR team out there and tells them, you do whatever it takes to get that dude back in the ring. So Rocky deals with it pretty easily at first, but then it starts to... surprisingly, it isn't the... I don't know what happened, I blanked there. Surprisingly, it isn't his pride that causes him to come back around and continue boxing. He's a spendthrift who, you know, doesn't know how to capitalize on his success. He's really not built for any other career than as a fighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he loses money, and eventually he realizes that the only way he can provide, the way he justifies it is, the only way he can provide for his family is if he fights, right? And Adrian is just very, very, very mad.
Opposed against the idea. She doesn't want him to go blind or get even more beat up than he did last time, which is inevitable to happen again, you know?
I'm surprised that this dude hasn't already kicked the bucket. The brain damage from that first fight alone should have been bad enough that to the point where he's like stuttering and like barely able to move, and he's hopping right back into that ring. Man, the healthcare in the 1980s, the healthcare of the 1980s must have been absolutely insane. So Rocky starts to train, but he's a total emotional mess, right? Because he cares for Adrian, he cares about her, and she is absolutely furious.
Yeah. Actually, something I wanted to add here that I thought was kind of interesting was that when she offers to get a job, he's, like, opposed to it a little bit at first, but, like, in the end, I don't know, he lets her get the job that she wants to do, and, like, I've seen other times where, like, they're, like, in similar situation, they're like, no, like, I'm supposed to do that part, there's absolutely no way you're getting a job also, nuh-uh, never. But I was, like, kind of surprised at how little he was able to care, you know? Like, it wasn't, like, super, like, you can tell it did hurt his pride, but he didn't, like, I don't know. I don't know why he did that, because so many other, like, media I've seen have always, like, portrayed, like, oh, he's so mad about it. He doesn't want to do it. It's going to hurt his pride, you know? Why do you think he was, like, so okay with that?
Because I think Sylvester Stallone is actually a feminist, and let's just leave it at that. So, no.
I don't know. It's just so contrasting from everything I've seen before that I was just wondering why I decided to go in that direction.
I mean, I think you might be coming into it with that expectation based off of the culture of the times, which is fair. I mean, right, that would have been the expected response in 1979, that Rocky would have been like, no, I have to provide for you or whatever, right? But I think just take the movie on its own merits and say, you know, Rocky, his character, based off of what we've seen of him, would he be that kind of dude, ultimately, if Adrian really pressed him on the issue?
Yeah, good point. You know, it just came to mind another reason would actually just probably be to further the plot, because, like, like, that's probably actually what I just thought about it then, because one of the main things that happens to Rocky that kind of really messes him up emotionally during the movie, where he feels, like, really guilty, is where the job that she got causes her to have...
A combination of the job and him, you know, doing dangerous boxing again, and constantly worrying, causes her to slip into a coma after giving birth, right? Mm-hmm. So... this is another example of Sylvester's less than excellent script writing. He definitely got better in this movie. I feel like the first half was definitely way better than basically the rest of the entire first movie. Adrian wakes up, they're reunited, yay, he starts training, and it's really awesome, and he beats up Apollo. The end.
Well, I think I think the main one was trying to, like, tackle the issues of the adversity through the fighting, you know, the training, you know. He's not like, he's not a bum, and he can, like, I think that was like the problems that the original movie set up, but I think that, I don't know, the character development between Rocky and Adrian was kind of like the main thing this movie wanted to tackle. So I think that's why they didn't maybe like emphasize the fight so much and put as much pressure on that. Cause you can see like Rocky's like late to his own fight. Like that's something, but like a boxer who's like really passionate about, who's really passionate about boxing, like wouldn't be doing. Like you can see that he's doing it because of Adrian, for Adrian. I mean, obviously he still likes to do it and he's good at it. That's pretty much all he can do. But I think that the character development is really what this movie was going for, which is why, you know, it was a little simplistic with the fight. So let's talk a little bit about Rocky, what happens to him during this movie. So obviously he comes back from the hospital a little beat up, but then he's like, you know, so he goes in the hospital, he has this surgery, and he gets better, and then he's able to leave, and then he gets married. He gets married to Adrian. And then afterwards, he tries to do, like, commercials and tries to get a business job because he really doesn't want to do fighting anymore. He kind of wants to, you know, hang up the gloves, but it's really interesting to see how he reacts through everything because, like, you can see he really doesn't want to get in the ring anymore for whatever reason either, like, I mean, when he's trying to get a job, one of the interviewers says, "Why don't you go back to fighting? I heard you was a great fighter," something like that. And he says, like, you know, when you get hit 500 times a night, stings after a while. And I was like, yeah, it should sting. But it's kind of interesting to see, like, his reasoning for not wanting to go back into fighting versus, like, Adrian not wanting to, you know? Like, what do you think was the, like, do you think the main reason was Adrian, or do you think, like, what do you think was, like, the most, it was probably Adrian, right?
You know, it's great that you bring that up, because I feel like that was the main problem I had with this movie, was the really unclear character motivations at the end, when it really should have been clear what exactly his main lie/problem was. So, like, you know, What they set up throughout the first half, I thought that what the first half was about was that basically he refuses to accept that deep down he's a fighter. He wants to pretend that he's something he's not, and that's what would drive the central conflict. And even when he does start to fight, I thought he's not going to admit that he wants to fight. He's going to say, "Oh, I need to do it. You know, it's the only thing I'm good at," right? Rather than just accepting that, yes, he's a fighter, he loves to do it, that's what he was made for whatever reason, he would just keep on trying to avoid it or pretend that he doesn't want to do it and he's only doing it out of necessity. And that's what I thought would drive the conflict. But then Adrian came in and it got really, really muddy for a while. Because then it came down to exactly as you said, was it Adrian not wanting him to do it that made him not want to do it? Or was it himself that was standing in the way? And I think that's what kept this film away from an 8 for me. Because it didn't really answer that question. It just left it hanging in the air. And there was never a proper conclusion to that. So, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to get at. I have no clue. Was it Adrian or him? No idea.
Yeah, so I just want to, you know, talk about one more thing about that. So when he says, what I thought was interesting is when the guy who owns the meat company says, "Hey Rock, yeah, you know, we're cutting you off. We don't have any work anymore." And he's like, "So are you sure? I'll take a pay cut." And he's like, "No, we can't do anything." Why did he say that? Like, I don't know, because if it was for the money, then he wouldn't accept that, but I think that actually may solve, I think it was because of Adrian, like, not so much out of necessity, because if it was out of necessity, he wouldn't have said he would have taken a pay cut, am I right?
What do you mean? Can you expand a bit more on what you're thinking?
But, I would say, do you remember that scene, right?
Yeah, I remember exactly which scene you're talking about.
So I don't think it was the necessity of it that made him, like, not want to get into that made him get into boxing again, because I don't feel that like if he would
dude, that's what I was saying, that he would try to lie and pretend that it was the necessity when in reality he just really wants to fight again.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up that point because when I saw that scene just really stuck out to me. What did you think of Mick in this movie? Because I think they kind of developed Mick a little bit more in this movie than they did in the last one. He was kind of like just, you know, the trainer in the last one without much, I don't know, emotional connection to Rocky, as in this one. I think they really expanded upon that, especially like when he's talking to him in the church, and yeah.
They did work on the relationship, but I felt like his actual character was a bit flat. Like, he was, before he was the trainer, now he was the trainer who had a connection with one of his, you know, students or whatever you call them, I don't know. But he's still just the trainer. He's a trainer who's really close to the person he's training, but he's still just the trainer. There's not much else to his archetype there. Would you agree?
So, I think they go over that a little bit more in Rocky 3, but what do you think about, like, his relationship with Rocky, though? Like, what was interesting to me is during the hospital scenes when Adrian is there, he was staying there the whole time, you know? He could have gone home. He could have just said, I'm really sorry, kid, and then he's, like, you know, headed home and going back to his boxing ring, but he, like, stays with him throughout that whole time. Why do you think that was? Do you think that was just, like, a connection with him, or he wants him to get, like, why do you think he was, like, willing to do that?
I have no clue. they don't really expand on his motivations much. Or at least I think so. I don't know. I forgot. You know what? never mind. Ignore everything I'm saying. Whatever, man.
So I think there's Adrian. Her relationship with Rocky is basically the thing that propels the whole movie forward. But as far as her character, it is a little bit flat along with Mickey's. I think maybe the character development is not, like what I said before, was not so much a good work, but maybe, like, the relationships between the characters is really what drove the story forward, because, I mean, like, we get some fairly good development with Rocky, but I think that, you know, it might have been just, like, Sylvester Stallone not wanting to share the spotlight at all, you know, he might have just, like, wanted to, like, write himself, like, all the development, you know, like, get, like, create situations in which he could, like, be the next Oscar winner as opposed to the actor for Mick or Adrian or something like that, you know? That might have been what was going on, but...
I hope not, man.
No, because obviously it was the writer. But I think that's... I mean, obviously there's Polly from the last movie. Yeah, he doesn't do much. He kind of does something though in the movie. He sparks the original conflict that sends Adrian into labor. Into a coma. But that's basically all he does throughout the movie. yeah, I don't know. He's just kind of there for comic relief, I think.
I feel like the plot was a bit stronger than the previous one, mostly due to the fact that the first act, there was a lot of empty scenes that didn't seem to serve much of a purpose. There wasn't much tension or conflict in there, but it was to a minimum compared to the first film, where the first act was, you could have cut off the first act from the first movie, and it probably wouldn't have made a difference. Here, I actually felt like it was really necessary to establish a lot of the stakes and what happened in the aftermath of these characters' lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
You continue? Oh, okay.
I just wanted to...
okay. I do feel that it does run out of momentum by about the midpoint three-quarters point or so. When Adrian hits that coma, she really should have stayed in the coma until the climax of the movie. And I know some people might think I'm being like a woman in the refrigerator right now, if you've heard of that trope. You know, the girl serves no other purpose than to be killed or put in a coma so that the main character can do things. No, I guess I might be edging on that trope a little bit, but her waking up made the film even worse than if she had just stayed in a coma. Because suddenly, it makes it too clean for Rocky. It just makes it too clean. Before, you had this internal conflict. Do I decide to drop the fighting thing and just raise my kid and, you know, just listen to my wife? Do I decide to ignore them and do the fighting thing anyway? Should I try to come to a compromise? By the third quarter, that's all wiped out. That's just tossed out the window. And now all it is Apollo Creed versus Rocky. And, I mean, that's interesting, but it would have been better had they kept the subplot of Adrian and Rocky going underneath.
Yes, that's exactly the point that I was making when I said before that this really tells more of a mature story rather than the fairy tale, you know, wins in the end, which I think the reason you're saying that is that happens when she gets into a coma. And Sylvester Stallone was maybe like going for something before, but then, you know, he thought, hey, you know, we gotta end it kind of like the same way as, like, you know, the first one was successful for a reason, you know, maybe he thought something like that. And he decided to kind of like basically shape it the same way as the first one, which is a little disappointing, because I think we can both agree, like, if they had like kept on the track they did during like the first two acts, it could have been a lot better. Rocky's motivations and basically everything about it. So a couple of the things with the plot, I think that the first scene after the boxing match, where it just kind of goes straight to this like kind of like, I don't know, like the tone of the scene when the, I know it sounds kind of silly, but when the medic bus or whatever you call it, what do you call that thing? The ambulance? When the ambulance is driving by and like kind of seeing like, just like the city dark like that, after seeing like all the lights, you know, the exciting battle that just happened, and, you know, it looks like Rocky kind of like being morally victorious, you know, everything like that. But then afterwards, seeing this like dark, gloomy scene of the stark reality of what happens right after that, you know, these going in the hospital and the theme that they use there, it's kind of like the theme song, but it's different. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it's the same leitmotif played in a minor key. It's just
the way that they changed the song along with the cinematography used. Really, like the stark contrast between what's going on then and what just happened, I think is a really good way to establish the tone of this movie versus the last one. So I think that was a really good choice.
Now that you say also, it, I actually have to agree really strongly with you. That was a really clever trick for them to use there, where they recount point for point what happened in the first movie. All the excitement, everything else, and then they just slap you right back into reality, and it's so much darker and so much more slower too. It's slower, but in a good way compared to the fast-paced fight. So yeah, just adding on to that. Go.
Yeah, I think the first two acts really work for me. I obviously really like the character charisma, which carries some of the slower scenes. But I don't want to excuse it for that. I feel like the pacing, like if Sylvester Stallone wasn't in it, and the kind of pacing that they had during the movie, I think I would have like knocked it to, I don't know, I wouldn't have rated it any lower, but I would have liked it significantly less. I still think, like how you mentioned before, there are things that could have been cut. I don't know, just the way that the events unfold is like kind of like pretty slow. It's just like one thing happening over another. And I think it needed to happen, but I think they could have presented it better. So I think that's more of an editing thing, though. I think that should have been tweaked a little bit. Oh, by the way, well, I wanted to say when he goes to the hospital and there's all the reporters around him, he says, "Rocky, what were you thinking in the last fight?" "Oh, I don't know. I should have stayed in school." I don't know. That's like another reason that I think the pacing I'm okay with it is because of all the jokes they were able to tell during it. When he gets married, I think a little bit more significance should have been played on that. Like, I don't know, maybe like a whole lot of reporters, or just like, or maybe like Apollo, like, says something. Like, if Apollo had said something like nasty about the marriage or something like that, you know, if he like called him out like that, I think that would have been a much better way to kind of like establish him as more like, because I don't know, his like, that's another thing I want to talk about. His challenge seems like really weak. Like, it seems really artificial. Like, a couple of guys like kind of like snicker at Rocky when he has like the Italian, the Italian chicken and stuff like that, but the challenge just felt like really weak, and it's like, I don't know, it like, he seems mad on the surface, but it doesn't really seem like he cares. Like, what did you think about the way that the challenge from Apollo was handled?
You know, I actually thought that was one of the clever, you're right, actually, now that I think about it, I don't mind him not showing any emotion in front of those dudes. People express their emotions differently, but the total lack of reaction is what surprised me. I was expecting him to, like, rip up the paper and toss it into the toilet and be like, Italian chicken, my, you know, something like that. But, no, he just tosses it into the toilet, it's like, haha, and then walks back out. There's nothing special in that character reaction at all. Not in the least. There's not the total non-reaction, which would have been interesting. He just genuinely doesn't care in the least. There's no... There's no anger, there's no disappointment. It's just... whatever. No.
Yeah, so... I also, like, on the same point, I wanted to ask you about Apollo's, like, reasoning. Like, he also, like... Like, the emotion on the surface seems like... like super showish, like he's just trying to make it happen, but doesn't really care. And what I thought was interesting is during the hospital scene, when Rocky when he goes to talk to Apollo and says, Apollo, is it, yeah, and he's like, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah, sure. He genuinely has no anger towards him, you know. He's like, he's just trying to get better. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have any problems with him. Which was really interesting to me, because like right before, the scene before that, he's like, I beat that chump. He's like, let's go chump right here, right now. And he's like, you know, yelling and stuff like that. But when all the cameras and all the newspaper and all that's gone, and he's in bed in the dark, just like hurting because he was just brutally beat up. I mean, they both were. He's like, yeah, sure, he, like, really has nothing against him, so I kind of feel like, I don't know, they should have handled his challenge better, because, like, after seeing that, and immediately after him being like, man, I beat this guy, and, you know, all this hate mail, I think they should have, like, just picked one way or the other, because I feel like, you know what I mean, the flip-flop between, oh, yeah, he doesn't really care, he's just trying to get better, I think picking one way would have been a smarter way to handle that. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it is odd now that you mentioned it. I do think that he shows so much genuine anger, not only, like, in front of the cameras, but in private when he's talking to, like, his team. He sounds genuinely irritated, genuinely doesn't seem to like Rocky, right? But, well, I mean, I guess we can justify it by saying that when they were in that hospital room, you know, like, no matter how much Apollo might dislike Rocky and all the, you know, hate mail he's received because of it and all that, there is a measure. He wasn't nice to Rocky. He was just respectful enough. He respected Rocky as a fighter enough to say, yeah, I took you on 100%, and he didn't need to add in any back talk or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, I think that when you see the, just when you see the context for the rest of the Rocky movies, you'll think some of these scenes from these first two are pretty interesting looking back on it, because I've seen all the movies, but I know you haven't, so I'm really excited to see when we get to the next two movies what you think of these earlier scenes. So the press conference, when the press conference happens, we can see that Apollo's like super mad, and he's like, you know, I will beat him anytime, anywhere. You know, he's on his little rant there. But Rocky just like kind of was like, you know, cracking jokes the whole time, and that happens. I think that they should have like, I don't know, like, I know he doesn't really like care. He says he doesn't care about the fighting anymore. But having him just be cracking jokes the whole time is like, I don't know, something I guess we'd expect his character to do, but I feel it kind of drains any real, you know, emotions that we as the audience would have for the next fight. You know, there isn't any, like, I feel like it really kills the stakes, you know, him just kind of like goofing around and showing he doesn't care. It's like, well, it seems like if he doesn't care, then why should we care? If he's just like joking around the whole time, he's like, oh, he looks pretty mad. And he's like, I'm going to get those Muppet toys like Ernie and Big Bird. Like, I think it really, really drains the stakes of the fight for me. Like, I don't know. Like, the stakes with this fight going into like the third act when that happens and from the last one, I think the last one did it much better than this. How did you feel like the build up toward the fight?
I don't think it's necessarily a matter of the build-up. I think you nailed it with the stakes, though. Like, with the first movie, everything was riding... It wasn't his life on the line. It was actually something much more important than that. He needed to know for himself that he wasn't just some... He's not some bum. That he can... That if he puts his mind to something, he can actually... really genuinely do it. If he... You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Whereas in this one, there was really no real reason for Rocky to fight beyond, you know, being called a chicken. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Also, Adrian wants him to win. And that's... Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was one of the more disappointing things in the movie for me. But, you know, when you said, like, calling him chicken, it kind of just, like, reminds me of, like, Back to the Future. Like, like that probably would have actually happened. Marty McFly probably would have, like, gotten to a fight if someone called him chicken. But, I don't know, just another movie from that era that's pretty good. So, I think the last scene that I want to talk about in depth, I know I've been doing this, but... is the church scene between Rocky and Mick. Actually, not just that, but also the other exchange where he, like, where, you know, he's, like, pointing the finger and he's, like, and he slaps him in the face and he's, like, no, you see, that was from a broken-down old pug like me. Like, what will a champ do to you? I feel like that is kind of, like, thrown out the window. Like, that doesn't contribute to the plot or his motivations at all. Like, when he's, like, saying, oh, you ain't got the tools no more. That kind of is just, like, completely thrown out the window immediately. Like, it doesn't develop into anything, which I think is something... I'm judging this movie. I'm not judging the next one, which is a different story. But how did you feel about that scene? Did it feel like, I don't know. It was a good interaction between them, but I think it... I don't know. It was completely thrown out immediately. You know?
Yeah, that's
right. And, like,
again, it's this really interesting setup in the first act, again, where it shows it a more down-to-earth, you know, really realistic, really mature, right? And then, all of a sudden, all of those apparent deficiencies are just thrown out the window when he decides to get back into fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, the back to the fantasy writing, you know?
And I mean, they do justify it. They do say, well, you're gonna fight with your right hand so that you can use your eye. Okay, fair enough. But it just doesn't really fit. They spend all that time building up his problems, and then it's solved with a hand wave, right? You know?
Yeah.
Overwhelming, you know, this massive, big problem in front of us, and then just... abracadabra! Your eye is now healed. Get back into the ring, bum.
Yeah, so that was another thing that was just a little wacky to me. So some of the, I think we, okay. So the visuals in this movie, I think, were a lot a lot better than the last one. I think they were like what I was talking about before, the ambulance scene they were able to use it much more effectively than the last movie, and like telling the more mature story they wanted to. The soundtrack, again, was really good. It kind of used some like revamped versions of the last one. They were able to get some, like, obviously the training scenes are usually very cinematic, but one thing that was interesting to me about this one is like the last part when he's like hitting the speed bag over and over again. He's like, speed, 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 and he's like hitting it, and it like builds up there, and then there's like this, like, you know, there's like the drum thing or whatever that was. I don't quite remember that last like musical part, but it was like really big and loud. And just as like that's happening, it's fading in to the baby sound. No, it's the sound, but the baby scene. You remember that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's a really interesting way to kind of like set up the fight, because like, that's what it's actually like, and this is another clever way that they were able to use this is a clever way they were able to use the music. So it builds up to there, but then it's super quiet, and it's just like this little baby, and he's like putting it in the crib, which like illustrates what a fight actually would be. You know, there's all this build up, this excitement, this training, this like, you know, blood, sweat, and tears going. It's all this, but then it's just like cuts to silence, and it's just, you know, the little thing is there. It's just the baby, which is like which directly illustrates what a fight would be like. You know, like, you want to stay like calm and relaxed before the fight. You don't want to be like, you know
it's funny, they're in the movies, you know, right before the big fight, there's always, you know, a couple minutes of silence, just like what you're talking about, right? It's quiet.
In what movies?
Well, you know, sports movies in general, right before the
like big what fight. Like I'm just wondering. You say like sports movies, but like what are you referring to?
Like Rocky 1, where right before the fight they were staring at each other while they were getting oiled up.
I think that's a different thing though, because like that's about like what's going into the fight. This is like before that. This is like before the excitement is starting in the first place. That's still part of the excitement. That's like the getting yourself psyched up, like kind of like getting your inner rage built up, you know, that like the inner fire within you, the eye of the tiger, as they'll say in the next movie. That's a bit of a spoiler, but it's kind of like, but like this like directly illustrates like what's going on with him at the moment, like not necessarily getting himself psyched up, which is another reason which I thought was interesting to see. You know, we were talking about before, he doesn't seem to like, I don't know, care a whole lot about the fight, which is why he was like, you know, late to his own fight. But showing like the silence with the baby right before then was like, I don't know, it's just the contrast there. It was really interesting and realistic to how a real fight would be, which is a clever way they use the music. I think that's about everything I had to say with it. The fight, just like one more thing, the fight cinematography was better too. They kind of had, they had less overhead shots. They got in the ring more, which is something that really like puts you in it more, gives you like more of an experience. I think they did a better job with that.
I feel like, okay, first of all, going back to your stuff about the contrast between the excitement of the fight and the silence and all that, I've been to multiple tournaments before, and they always hype it up in the movies, you know, sitting around watching your opponent. It's actually really boring. You just sit there for like an hour waiting your turn, you know. Oh, hey, yeah. Where are you from? I'm actually from the South. Oh, yeah, cool. You into any music? I prefer 80s stuff myself. Oh, cool, dude. Yeah.
You do have experience in Taekwondo, but I think there are multiple differences between what you went through and what is going on here. That was like a little league kids tournament for a martial arts that's meant to defend yourself and is mainly using your feet. That's supposed to be, oh, we want to be peaceful, we don't want to hurt others. These are two guys who are about to go to war, trying to murder each other to their best intentions, who have been to a press conference, and the point of the press conference is to get attention on how much they hate each other. And this has been hyped up, and one of them is there is a big difference, Ty, between what you went through and what these guys are going through. I just want to point that out now.
I mean, and for Sylvester Stallone, though, himself, was it really that big a difference for him? I mean, you saw how little he actually cared about the fight. I think maybe for Apollo, it might be more intense, But for Sylvester, I mean, did he, like you said earlier, he arrived late to his own fight. It was probably more sitting around waiting for an hour, wondering when it's going to start already. That's the worst part.
But,
that's the worst part. Waiting for your turn, and you're like, when will it start already? Jeez, how can you take so long? Right, okay, yeah.
So did you see any clever uses of cinematography, lighting, or music that you wanted to point out at all?
I don't know, I guess I like the scene where all the kids were running beside him, and, you know, that's it.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one. Yeah, okay, so you're sure there's nothing? Because, I don't know, I felt there was a lot there. Like, nothing?
Dude, I am not a cinematographer. I guess, for the fight scene, though, not necessarily the cinematography itself, but the fight scene, I do feel that...
Yeah, so before we move on to our next one, there was two things that I forgot to mention that I would like to talk about with you. So, the part where Rocky is, like, in the church, like, talking to Mickey, you remember that, right?
Yeah.
Like where Rocky and Mickey are having that little interaction, and then Rocky, like, waiting just, you know, beside his wife the whole time. Do you really felt that needed to be there? If they had, like, kept the motivation of him being, like, you know, kind of, like, not, like, really wanting to, but, like, not wanting to, like, deep down inside, like what we were talking about before, if they kind of, like, cut out the Adrian stuff, I felt like that part was, I mean, like, it was kind of cute with the, remember how he's, like, not super great at reading in the beginning when he's, like, doing the commercials, but then he's, like, reading to her the whole time, and it's very emotional, but I don't know, I'm just failing to see the purpose of why it's there, you know?
Well, I think that's because there wasn't any real conflict in that scene. I feel like what Sylvester was trying to go for, though, was he really wanted to show just how close Rocky had gotten to Adrian, and also Rocky's failing mind at this point, his, less than spectacular reading abilities.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean great reading abilities. They were excellent.
So, that's basically all I wanted to say before we jump into our quick thoughts. So, I wanted to ask you first, like, what little things did you notice here or there that you would like to highlight about the movie?
Okay, first of all, Tony's advice is just one of the best moments in the entire movie. Have you thought about what you're gonna do with all that money? No. I would recommend condominiums. They're safe. And then what was Rocky's reply?
He's like, I don't use them.
I don't use condos. And then the scene just ends there, which is the best part. There's no follow-up. No reaction. It just cut, next part.
Yeah.
I do feel that... Yeah, no, I got... why am I so bad? Reviewing movies... okay, your move.
Okay,
Yu-Gi-Oh.
So I think what was really interesting, well, I don't know, it's really cool that this little clever thing. If you remember in the first movie, when Rocky's first gonna go out with Adrian, and the one guy that he doesn't like says, "Hey, Rocky, you should take her to the zoo. Retards like the zoo," and then he's like, "He's not retarded. She's just a little shy," and then he says, And then at the end of the interaction between him and Gazo, he's like, he says, "Hey, Rocky, do what I tell you. What would you tell me? Take her to the zoo." And then he drives away. He takes her to the zoo and proposes to her there, which is, like, just great. I love the callback there. And Rocky saying, like, "Hey, you know, yeah, I like the zoo. Hey, you like the zoo?" She's like, "Yeah, I like the zoo." And he's like, "Yeah, me too." That was great. I think some of the comedic timing with Rocky in this movie, that Sylvester Stallone, like some of the comedic timing that he's able to bring, is really good. Like, I don't, like, there were so many times in this movie, like, where he just, like, had me laughing, or, like, oh, that's such a clever line, like, what are you doing the next 40, 50 years, like, and he's, like, I don't, you know, if you wouldn't mind marrying me too much, and when he says, like, and he's, like, she says, I do, and he's, like, thanks, and he's, like, good job, father, I'm proud of you, like, some of the lines they're able to put in this movie, along with the timing, just, like, I think that's what really makes Rocky memorable. I know that we can say, oh, we didn't really like the fairy tale aspect and we would prefer a more mature story. And, you know, I think it would technically be better, but I think the reason that Rocky's become, like, such an icon is really the performance Stallone puts on and the fairy tale aspect about it. You know, I think we complain about it now, but I feel like this is, like, when it was just starting to be invented, because I think this kind of, like, follows in the same, like, good guy kind of, like, blockbuster as Star Wars. Like, you right?
I would disagree.
Okay, yeah, just go on your point.
Well, I'm not sure. Definitely during the end of this, it did edge on that kind of epic, you know, grandiose scale, but, I mean, I feel like, despite the massive battles, Rocky, the so far from what we've seen, these first two Rocky movies seem to be more about, well, Rocky, not about, you know, a massive, not necessarily about the boxing match. It's about Rocky's own insecurities and his relationships and that stuff. Not really, you know, good versus evil space opera.
No, I'm not saying good versus evil, but, like, kind of like the heroics of it is what I meant.
Well, actually, now that
I don't know.
Does definitely kind of... These aren't exactly the most complicated films in the world. I mean,
I was going on to that point because the original Rocky came out in 1976, right before Star Wars came out, I believe, 1977. So I feel like the tropes that we would generally assume, like, oh, you know, the good guy wins and, like, you know, the gets the girl. I think that kind of movie was just starting to be invented. Like, I know that had happened in stories before. Like, there was, like, you know, like this, like, these story tropes have been around since, like, the Greeks, and, you know, they were the ones who invented it. But I feel like it really started to be accentuated in our pop culture starting then. So I feel like back then it wasn't as big of a complaint to have because it was just kind of, like, getting on its feet. You know
isn't
what
it,
I mean?
Isn't it the strangest... Yeah, I think I agree, but now that you brought it up, isn't it the funniest thing how, like, we look at the Greek plays and you read through them, and they're really complicated. They're all sorts of crazy themes and just... And I feel like it's this eternal cycle where, you know, you start out with the likes of Citizen Kane and The Godfather, and then it, like, goes around in a circle and you go back into the pop culture, Star Wars and, Rocky and that kind of stuff, a more simpler kind of reaction. It's a reaction to the complex themes of the previous generation. And then, you know, in direct response to that, you get more complicated stuff. Interesting.
Yeah, I definitely see what you mean. So, with everything we talked about during this review, what would you say your final opinion is on Rocky, if it's changed at all since the beginning? Rocky 2.
I would say it hasn't changed very much. Honestly, I'm probably going to give it a slightly lower rating than I intended to give it, but now that we've started going through it, I start to see that there are even more structural flaws than I thought there were watching it, so should I just... Mm-hmm. Give my rating here? Or you?
Yeah, sure.
Personally, I think there were some things that it did better than Rocky. I feel like the stronger focus on the theme definitely made it a bit stronger, but surprisingly, it kind of reminds me of what we went through with The Old Man and the Sea. The first Rocky was dead simple in the story, right? It was, and in terms of themes, you know, there wasn't much there, but it was very simple in what was there, and that gave it a kind of focus, You know, it was the ultimate underdog story. Here, they tried to branch out and be more mature, and I have to give them kudos for that. But in doing so, they might have actually lost what might have made the first Rocky good, surprisingly. So, I would say 6.5, actually, for me. Worse than the first film.
Well, I think I'd have to completely disagree with you. I really appreciated the improved, the character development with Rocky. I know it wasn't perfect, but I think the fact that what was there was better than the first one, his relationship with Adrian and Mickey, I felt was developed a lot more. Like I said, I really liked the cinematography and the music in it. I liked the tone, the pacing was a bit off, but I think the tone in general, what they were able to do with it through, you know, the performances, and especially Sylvester Stallone's throughout the whole movie, and just, you know, the little moments here or there that just, like, really made it a great film for me. I'm putting this at an 8. I just think it's there, you know?
All right. So, 6 point... Let's just round up and say 7, whatever.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess together, the Narrative Calculus podcast gives Rocky II a 7 out of 10. If you enjoyed this episode of Narrative Calculus, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to leave us a 5-star review down below and tell your friends about us. We're really excited about this Rocky series. We're having a great time watching the Rocky movies. Aren't you, Ty? Aren't you having a great time talking about Rocky?
You know.
I don't know. I guess I'm just a fan. What do you call it? Do you call it fangirling out? Yeah, that's what you call it, right?
You know, guys, let me check here. You need to go ahead and keep on watching these episodes. In fact, just rewatch the episodes, because we're at 442 plays now, all time. And I think that me and Jonathan are going to agree that when we hit some certain arbitrary number, like 1,000 or something, that we're going to agree it's finally time for him to watch an anime movie or TV show. So
No. It's gotta be more than that. It's gotta be 10,000.
Nope. Okay, 10,000 plays, guys. Get hopping. Hurry up, man. Share the podcast.
Okay, sorry, no. Come on. Yes. Okay, but so be sure to keep listening. We're going to be releasing another episode tomorrow in the next couple of days. We're doing Rocky 3, 4, and 5. It's going to be really good. We really enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys did too. Be sure to listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And check out some of our other episodes, like Ty already told you. And along with this, we're going to be releasing also a couple Christmas episodes pretty soon. Some Christmas specials that I think you guys will also really like. So keep your eye out for that. And the new episodes, and we'll see you all in the next one. Bye.